Good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC sports fans. This is Frank. Hobo sits across from me.
Absolutely. Another fun Monday night.
Hey, the Wahoos won another one. 3-2. Things are looking up.
Absolutely. My 9-3 is looking more and more plausible all the time.
Well, it's funny. At the beginning of the the end of the summer, Jim and I always undertake a little exercise where we predict the entire season over a couple of cold ones. And we found ourselves picking
Some people would say if I picked 9-3, it was more than a couple of cold ones. But
that's okay. We got you a cab. But we both found ourselves being a whole lot more optimistic this year, and have to say that Jim was more optimistic than myself, which is rare.
Well, I'm Mr. Football now. You know,
the great thing is this team now has a legitimate shot at 7 or 8 wins. Hobo says 9. I'll take it. But right now,
well, the most important game on the schedule is this week. Frank and I, we talked during the day today to prep for the show. Something we do routinely, even though it may not sound like we prepare.
But hours.
Nevertheless, you know, if the Hoos can grab this one under the lights at Scott Stadium on Saturday night, and we've been talking about attendance. If you're a Wahoo fan out there or just a football fan, I mean, it's going to be an October evening, beautiful night, no doubt. Probably even have a little chill in the air by the time the game is over. So bring your jacket. Nevertheless.
Come early, tailgate for a couple hours.
October in Charlottesville, you can't beat it.
There's going to be fireworks before the game like they do at night. Promises to be an exciting game. Virginia and Pittsburgh have been known to play some tough, hard-nosed football games.
Well, it should be physical, and Virginia will need to gear up to stop the Pitt running game. But, you know, if the Cavs can get it done and get to 4-2 at the halfway point, particularly with a week off, giving them a little time to rest any injuries or bumps and bruises, and then prepare for the Duke Blue Devils on the road. But at any rate, we'll worry about Duke later. We got to worry about Pitt right now.
Virginia is favored by 4.5 at home this coming Saturday night. Game time's at 7:30 in the friendly confines of Scott Stadium. And I'm going to go out on a limb and predict Virginia in a blowout. I'm going to say Virginia 28-10. I'm going to say they're going to have a dominating performance. That's my. What do you say, Hobo?
Well, you're asking for a prediction early in the show. I haven't formulated my number yet.
People
are certainly
going to
pick the
Frank,
Hoos. Yeah. I have to think about this. I'll have my prediction by the end of the show.
Oh, my goodness. You are so lame.
It's a teaser.
That's a teaser.
People won't listen if I know what Hobo's going to say
right
now. I know.
That's right.
We might come back.
This is bigger than who shot JR. Well, what's Hobo going to say at the end of the show?
The bottom line is, after the Wahoos beat Pittsburgh, they'll be 4-2. And I think the break on October 11th comes at a good time. Virginia doesn't have many injuries, but it will give the coaching staff some time to really prepare and gear up for a tough stretch.
You got Duke, and then come home to Carolina, right?
Oh yeah, I mean it's.
And then go on the road to Georgia Tech, and then Florida State. So I mean, you know, the second half of the season is challenging, but what the heck, the first half of the season's been challenging.
Well,
playing what?
Five out of six games at home. Only two teams in the country had the fortunate scheduling to have their first. Of their first six games, playing five of them at home. So,
yeah, but Virginia also played three ranked teams in the first half of the season.
No one's disputing that. I'm just saying it's a scheduling quirk, and it's a great opportunity. If they can get to 4-2, all you naysayers out there, and you know who you are, you need to get off your blank and get out to the stadium and cheer and watch the Wahoos, because this team is playing a whole lot better than all the writers predicted before the season started.
Yeah, this team is not going to be last in whatever conference we're in. I forget whether it's Atlantic or Coastal or whatever. I get confused. Let me see. It's right in front of me here. It's the Coastal Division. How about that? Coastal Division. But at any rate, how do you follow the show?
Chris, tell us.
So Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. Everyone, go ahead, send questions or comments via email to who's talking at sportsradio910.com or call in at 345-0910. All shows are archived on thesaber.com. We have the smartphone app through iHeartRadio app, and you can listen to Who's Talking virtually anywhere. Also have the Facebook page, so go ahead and search it's Who's Talking, make comments and questions, and become a fan.
Since I'm full of questions tonight, who's on the show, Mr. Maloney, tonight?
Well, it's funny you should ask. We have none other than Randy Neal, former juggernaut linebacker who is very skilled not only in run defense but back in pass protection, and is probably best known for the fact that he had four interception returns for touchdowns as a collegian, and that is a ACC tied for a record. He also has a UVA record that he holds outright, where he returned two interceptions for touchdowns in the same game against the Hokies, which still stands up, two scores. And then as a senior, Randy Neal had a touchdown return of 77 yards against Georgia Tech, which still stands as the longest interception return by a linebacker at Virginia, and maybe by any player other than Antoine Harris, who did it against Carolina. And Antoine was a defensive back.
But, well, in addition to Randy Neal's life history, who else is on the show?
And we have, of course, David Sloan, former UVA running back, restaurateur, as well as a well-known realtor today. So,
and don't forget Dr. Jody Smith.
I didn't forget him.
You just didn't
I'm just glad for once you can read the outline.
You know,
don't even have your glasses on.
You know, I'd say something about being a football player at North Carolina, but that would be inappropriate with regard to reading skills. So I will strike the last word.
That's a first as well. All right. I think David Sloan's on the phone. Real quickly, let's do a quick intro. He played at Virginia from 1973 to 1976.
Back in the Hobbo era, he can tell you how good I was.
That's exactly right.
Oh, my God. Hobgood couldn't throw the ball in the ocean. Come on. All right, so
but he could jump.
I tried frequently,
The tomahawk dunk was invented in U-Haul by
Hobbo. He could definitely sky. There was no air Hobbo, but pretty close.
Okay, real quickly, David's best year as a running back in Virginia was 1975. 176 carries for 848 yards for a stellar 4.8 yards per carry and six touchdowns that year. So how did you do it that year exactly? Because I remember
him,
that year.
Move the chains.
We were 1-10, so I have no idea. just lucky.
Just lucky. I don't think so.
All right, David, I got the Who's 9-3 this year. Am I too optimistic?
Man, Hobbo, you know, but based on what I've seen in college football so far this year, your guess is as good as mine. I was reading up a little bit on the preseason predictions for the Coastal Division, and, Virginia was picked last and Miami was picked first. And I guess by the time the smoke clears this weekend, we'll have a little clearer picture of that since Miami and Georgia Tech are playing and Virginia and Pitt are playing. And right now, those are the top four teams in the Coastal. So, who the heck knows? It just depends. I mean, a lot riding on the Virginia game as well as the Miami Georgia Tech game this weekend.
David, let's talk about how important this home game is this coming Saturday night. Virginia has only played Pitt like six times ever in history, so there's not much history to go on. I remember a few years back, Virginia did beat Pitt pretty well at home one night, but of course they suffered a kind of an ugly loss last year Pitt. David Watford couldn't hit the broadside of a barn that afternoon. But
the only thing I know, if David Sloan had gone up against Tony Dorsett back in the day, David would have made Tony look bad.
Dude. Yeah, right. Well, I will tell you this. They have a Tony Dorsett-like player, although he's not quite as quick and fast. He's just a bruiser running back. James Conner is a sophomore. And right now, Hobbo, is probably not going to surprise you because I know you do your homework. That kid is actually ahead of Tony Dorsett at this juncture of the season. And I think we're going to have our hands full with him. But it's mano a mano there with their running game against their running defense. And, hey, hats off to John Tenuta and the defense for the Cavaliers this year, just playing great. Certainly, I think, exceeding all expectations. I think our offense, obviously, is putting up some pretty good numbers. I think if you were to check in with all the naysayers players back in the summertime, and I maybe was even on that list. Just sort of a lot of question marks, a lot of unknowns. This team is starting to establish an identity, but certainly has to know going into every game. Look at the first half score at the Kent State game, 14-10. I mean, you know, they've got a I like a little swagger, I like a little confidence, but they've got to temper that, in my opinion, with the task at hand, and that's taking them one game at a time, and recognizing how daggone important it is this Saturday night. And that goes for you Wahoo fans. Let's put that. Let's get those white. Let's do the whiteout. I think Eli said. Let's do the whiteout, and let's get to the game. We've been pretty. What's the word I'm looking for? Since UCLA, been a little scarce.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of surprising to me. It seems like the alumni side of the stadium, the west side of the stadium, is significantly fuller than the sunny side on the east side, and. Particularly the last two games, the UVA student body has not been there
right
en masse. And I have a funny feeling that a night game is going to bring them out again. And I think they're going to like what they see on the field, and maybe they'll pull themselves away from all the other distractions that...
Well, at least the students ought to be up by 7:30 p.m.
Yes.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I think the two games, the Louisville game and the UCLA game, were at noon, and I think historically that is not a well attended game. It's been a little tougher to get enthusiastic, I think, up to this point. But I think coming back, beating Louisville, and coming back, being in the other, you know, the two losses, being in those games right up till the bitter end, and then playing a Kent State team that we were 27.5 point favorites, which, you know, I think at halftime everybody was kind of going, "Oh no, not again, please don't happen." And then, of course, sticking it out, seeing the final score, and seeing Virginia, more than cover the point favorites. You know, I think that hopefully that excited everybody. I mean, again, it's there's always armchair quarterbacks questioning the play calling or the decision making, and I think that's. Sports in general, I think that's college athletics. Anytime I remember Tom O'Brien when he coached under George Welsh, his first stint in Charlottesville, telling me that he and I both made a living the same way, which was at the time I was in the restaurant business, which was on the backs of a bunch of 18, 19, and 20-year-olds, probably make you lose some sleep at night.
You make a great point there. Speaking about Young, the Virginia offensive line has been sort of cobbled together, and they've overcome a lot of injuries. You know, suddenly they're starting to look a little bit better than anybody could have hoped for. And Frank Quayle and I talked about this in our first show this year, trying to preview the season, and we talked about the concern there. I felt very confident that both Johns and Lambert would do well at quarterback this year, and that's proven to be the case. But nobody predicted that the offensive line would do so well. How do you think that's all come to be?
Well, I mean, I think it's a sum of a lot of moving parts, Frank. I mean, you've got, you know, they were young. I didn't think outstanding last year, although we had a 1,000-yard rusher and people overlooked that. We got two guys from that team playing in the NFL. So, you know, there were some good things going there that obviously we weren't making that connection. We knew we were going to be young. We knew we probably had a few injuries. But I think the key has been the fact that our quarterback play has been a little more consistent, and we've got some receivers that are making some catches. And as you know, to run the football, you've got to be a multi-headed serpent there. You've got to be able to get the ball down the field, make the defense respect the pass. And I think last week against Pitt, that's exactly what Akron did. They focused on shutting that run game down and put it on the quarterback for Pittsburgh, whose name I think is something Wojtek, I believe, Chad.
That's
Wojtek.
Correct. That's correct.
And, that kid didn't get it done. And that's not to say he won't come in here Saturday night and be a completely different kid. But, I mean, I think breaking down our offenses, I think we're going to start to see some of our – we have a talented running backs. I think we're going to start to see some of those guys breaking off some bigger plays, a little more explosive offense.
I agree. David, we're going to carry you over the break that's coming up right now and speak further about the very subject we just touched on. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking. We've got David Sloan coming back to us on the other side. Stay with us.